To turn tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 8. I just want to read a few verses concerning the Jerusalem church. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, again, each of these verses speaking of the Jerusalem church, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts chapter 5, verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea in Samaria, except the apostles. The Bible, of course, has much to say about the Lord's churches. We see several, too many to mention tonight, but we see several of the Lord's churches that are mentioned in the Word of God. There, of course, was the Jerusalem church. There was the church at Antioch. There was the church at Corinth. There were the churches of Galatia. We have the seven churches mentioned there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We also read of a church of Laodicea. There was a church in Damascus that Saul was baptized into. And on we could go. There were many churches. These churches are described as bodies of Christ. A body, of course, must have a location. It must be somewhere. Church of Corinth was at Corinth. Church of Ephesus was at Ephesus. It's not that difficult to figure out. But not all churches, even the Lord's churches, are the same. Some, they all, one does not have more authority than another. They're all autonomous, but they're not all equal. They're not all the same. Some are more living than others. Some are more active than others. Some are more filled with the Spirit than others. Some manifested the Lord more than others did. In other words, some were greater than others. And this all depends upon the membership. It all depends on the membership of that church. A church will never be greater than its membership. Never. It'll never be more spiritual than its membership. Now, the Jerusalem church was a great church. In these verses that we just read, we read of great power in Acts 4, verse 33. They had great power. We also read that they had great grace. Acts chapter 5, we read that they had great fear. And in Acts chapter 8, we see that there was great persecution, which tells me that since they survived the persecution, that they had great endurance as well. The word great is so thrown around today that it has almost become meaningless. But it ought to be our desire. It ought to be our desire to be a great church. And when I speak of a great church, I'm not speaking of big, enormous, immense buildings. There are a lot of so-called churches that have that. But that doesn't make them great. A church's building really says very little about the spirituality of the church. When I speak of a great church, I'm not speaking about the amount of money that a church has, or the amount of money that a church spends, the amount of money that a church sends to missionaries. A lot of people measure greatness in that way. I'm not talking about programs. I'm not talking about agendas. You see, when the Lord, or when the religious world, what the religious world considers to be a great church and what the Lord considers to be a great church are two entirely different things. So when I speak of a great church, I am speaking, the word great certainly means large, but that's not how we're using the word tonight. The word great also means substantial. I'm talking about something substantial. The word great means something that is significant. When we talk about a great church, we're talking about something that's significant, something that matters. It means exceptional. If something's great, it's exceptional. We ought to desire to be a great church, an exceptional church, an extraordinary church. I mean, who would want to be ordinary in today's world? I mean, that'd be sad. We ought to want to be extraordinary. It means to be prominent. It means to be distinguished from all others. So, we desire, and I hope that all members of Home Baptist Church desire for Home Baptist Church to be a great church. Every member ought to desire such. But again, we cannot be that unless we are that. I mean, the church cannot be what the members are not. So we want to look at these four things tonight. In Acts 4 and verse 33, we see a church great in power. Great in power. Great power. They had great power. Power speaks of ability. Power speaks of strength. Speaks of might. Speaks of vigor. Speaks of energy. It takes power. It takes power to do the work of Christ, especially in a world that hates the message of Christ, in a world that is in direct opposition to the Lord. It takes power. And we're not talking about ordinary ability. We're talking about the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That is the power that we need today. But again, in order for a church to have great power, this power must be upon our individual lives. If our individual lives are powerless and we come together as an assembly, guess what? We're powerless. We're powerless. If we're powerless during the week, if we have no Holy Spirit power upon our lives, what changes when all of a sudden we just assemble together? Nothing. There's still no power. So in order to have great power, each one of us need the power of the Lord in our life. This is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 6 when he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The power we're talking about tonight is the power of which God is the force. We read that Paul spoke of this in Ephesians 1 and verse 19 as the power that is working within us. That's what we need in our individual lives. All through the Scriptures, we're told to be strong. Be strong. But again, this is not some strength that we can muster up. This is not some strength that we can find in the world. This is a strength, this is a power that goes beyond all human power. This is an ability that goes beyond all human ability. This is a power that comes directly from God upon the obedient. That's what we need. No church will ever be great that is not great in power. Great in power. We notice also that this church in Acts 4 and verse 33, and great grace, that speaks of God's blessings. God's blessings of endowment, we read, was upon them all. It is this grace, according to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, that makes us sufficient in all things. That makes us capable in all things. It is this grace that Paul spoke of as abounding to every good work. This grace speaks of the fullness of God. How can a church be great if a church does not have the presence of God? Can't possibly be. How can a church be great if it does not have the fullness of God? When you come together, you do not feel the power of God. And it's easy. It's easy today to speak collectively and say, the church has no power, the church has no grace. And that may be true. But why is that? Why is that? Well, if that's true, it's because the members do not have power in their life. Because the members do not have grace in their lives. But somehow people have gotten a strange notion that they can live their lives without power, they can live their lives without the grace of God being upon their lives, but somehow the church of which they're a member is to have both. Again, we can't be more than our members. So great grace was upon them. This grace enables us to pray. But one thing I notice throughout the book of Acts is on many different occasions the church came together and prayed. How many times we read in the book of Acts and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. That's a sign of a great church. We need grace to pray. We need grace to testify of what God has done in our lives. Very few people in the world, very few people in the community are going to hear the preaching that goes from Home Baptist Church. But they do hear from individual members. So we need grace. We need grace to testify. We need grace to give everything, to give all that we have. We need grace to stand. We need grace to live. We need grace to die. And this grace is something that can be seen. Because when Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch there in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, we read that Barnabas saw the grace of God. That is, he saw evidence of the grace of God upon their lives. Talking about the people of Antioch. And the church of Antioch became a great church. In fact, you could argue it became even a greater church than the church at Jerusalem. But they had great grace upon them. We need grace if we're going to be a great church. Because you see, grace is operative. Grace does something in our lives. Notice in the book of Titus, chapter 2, a lot of times we just think of grace as the strength to endure, and certainly that's part of it. But there's so much more to it than that. We read in verse 11 of Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And notice how this grace operates. It teaches us. The grace of God teaches us. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. When a church has great grace, they have great denying power. They have the power to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Now that is necessary for the next step. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Grace does this. Grace teaches us to live soberly. That is, grace teaches us to think right. Grace teaches us to think clearly. Grace does that. It teaches us to live righteously and godly in this present world. Oh, it's easy today to blame the world for everything. That's easy. And I do not doubt that the world, again, has a powerful, powerful influence upon us. But I want you to know grace can enable you to live godly and to do what you ought to do, even in the very midst of this present world. So we need to be a church of great grace. And if Home Baptist Church is to have grace, great grace, then of course we need great grace upon our individual life. So we have great power, we read, and great grace. And then in Acts chapter 5, we read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. God struck Ananias and Sapphira, members of that church. God struck them dead. Why? Why? You might think, oh, they did something really awful. Yeah, they did. But it's something so common, so commonplace in the Lord's churches today. God struck them dead basically for pretending. For pretending to have a full dedication when they didn't. And God killed them. Now, if the Lord did the same in our churches today, we'd have a lot of funerals. Ananias and Sapphira, their sin was that they pretended to do something they didn't do. We've got a lot of pretenders today. When God struck Ananias and Sapphira dead, in verse 5, and Ananias, this is before he was struck dead, of course, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And then notice what it says. And great fear came on all them. Great fear. Verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church. Not only on the church, but those around there who heard of it. Became fearful as well. If a church is going to be great, there must be great fear. And we live in a day when there is an appalling lack of fear from God's people. Where does this lack of fear come from? Well, I believe it's a direct result of a lack of reverence for who God is. A lack of respect for who God is. A lack of reverence for the things of God. A lack of respect for the things of God. All you have to do today is to observe. And I'm not talking about visitors. I'm talking about church members. All you have to do is observe how they come into the house of God dressed. It's pretty obvious. They have no respect. None. None whatsoever. No reverence for God. All you have to do is watch how they behave in the church. It's no wonder today that many children do not know how to behave in church. Because many adults don't know how to behave in church. Children can be taught to behave in the house of God. And they ought to be. They ought to be taught that. Because it's just simple respect for the house of God, for the assembly. But a church cannot possibly be great if we do not have a reverence and a respect for God, which results in a fear. People have stressed through the years, but we don't want them to be afraid. Oh, we need some fear. We need some fear. I don't believe that we need to serve the Lord in a constant spirit of fear. But we do need some fear. We do need to be fearful. If I do such and such, first of all, I ought to be fearful of disrespecting and dishonoring the Lord. First and foremost. Fear. Where is the fear today? For many, there is none. All we can do is thank God for the fear that some do have. But they had great fear. It's been a long time since I've seen a majority of a church when great fear comes upon them. Been a long time. I don't know what it would take today for a great fear to fall upon the average Baptist church today. I believe it would take more than the killing of Ananias and Sapphira. I believe it'd take more than that. Because you know how most people would look at that? Well, you just die. Sure is sad, but he just died. Did you ever stop to think the Lord may have killed him? Great fear came upon them. And then lastly, this church, we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, they suffered great persecution, but they withstood it. So they had great endurance. Endurance is staying power. We need some staying power today. We need that in our individual lives. We need some fortitude. We need some perseverance. We need some persistence, some resolve, some determination. That's character. It's godly character. And if Home Baptist Church is to endure, and we don't know what we might have to endure, but if we're going to endure, individuals have to have this enduring power. We need individuals have to have this staying power. individuals need this fortitude to say, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. So a great church must have great power, must have great grace, must have great fear, and must have great endurance. We live in a day when God's people, for the most part, are cold. Pastors are cold. They're not exempt. People are careless. They're lax. They're spiritually indifferent. In such a day, we need some great churches. We really do. The United States of America needs some great churches. I mean churches of great power, churches of great grace, churches that have a fear of God, churches that have some fortitude. In a day when so many have very little spiritual intensity, so little earnestness, so little fire, so little zeal, so little passion, we need some great churches. I mean so great that when those who come in who do not have that intensity and they do not have that earnestness and fire and zeal and passion, they get to feeling uncomfortable. We don't want folks to feel comfortable that have no interest, that have no zeal for the Lord, that have no love for the Lord. They shouldn't feel comfortable. Not at all. The churches have lost that today. Because churches, somewhere along the line, have bought into the idea, well, be careful, we don't want to offend them. And as we've said many times, we're not to purposely offend anyone. To preach against something just because a certain individual walks in the door, to me, that's wrong. That's of the flesh. If God gives you a message to preach and you preach it and offend someone, so be it. And we shouldn't get overly concerned about it. I just pray they get offended enough to get right. In this day and a time when sin and open defiance of God is so rampant, we need some great churches. And what is wrong with you and I desiring that Home Baptist Church be just that? A great church. Again, when I talk about a great church, I'm not talking about a perfect church. There is no such thing. And as we've said before, if you find it, don't go to it. You'll ruin it. You'll ruin it for sure. There are no perfect churches. But there are great churches. And there have been great churches throughout the ages. And it ought to be our desire to be that kind of church. It ought to be our desire to be the kind of member where that is possible. That we can be the great church. In a day when people do not tolerate, and I mean many of God's people, do not tolerate biblical convictions, we need some great churches. Some churches that have some biblical convictions. So I pray today, pray tonight, at Home Baptist Church, would be a great church. That we, as individuals, would be the kind of members that would add to the spirituality of Home Baptist Church and not in any way detract from the spirituality. That's the kind of member each one of us ought to long to be. That's the kind of church that we ought to want to be a part of. A great church. I'm not going to ask you tonight if you think Home Baptist Church is a great church. That's really not the issue. The question is, are you doing your part to make it a great church? That's the real issue. That is what it comes down to. And we can answer our own question. If we're all doing our part to make it a great church, guess what? It's a great church. But again, it can't be any greater than its members. So we pray. We pray that the Lord would cause us to be a great church. Not an average church. Not a church that just goes along with the flow. It's easy to do today. It's convenient. But a great church. That's the kind of church we want to be a member of. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.